This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. Continue our Shirim and Sefer Bereishis that are again generously sponsored by Dr. Zakim and Mishpachta, Le'iloi Nishmas, Shlomo Eliezer ben Rabbi Yaakov Zakim, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Dr. Zakim's mother, Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi. They should be Melissa Yisharm for their whole families. Tonight's shir is dedicated by Rav Moshe Weiss as a zuchus for the security and protection of Klal Yisrael. Tonight's shir is dedicated by my dear friend Mark Black, who once took me for J Roots, which was maybe my first or second trip to Sachachov, where my great grandfather was the Rav. We went to Bratislava, and we went to Vienna. Two nights ago was the yard site of Rabbi Yosef Engel, and many fun places. And he's dedicating as a zechus for Klal Yisrael, and l'nishmas his father, Tzvi ben Sion ben Yisrael, began Eden, te'emnu chasai, shibi mel tzioshev his whole family, and b'yaskoel tzedek. Tonight's shir is also dedicated anonymously. Okay, we have very exciting news. The upcoming Sefer on Rav Meir Balhanes and the Eternal Children of Hashem has a cover. So it's imminently coming out. Bez Hashem should be ready for Hanukkah. If anybody would like to participate, please let us know. And you came to the right place if you want to get the Sefer on Bereishis and Lashon HaKodesh. And I know many people say, I don't speak Lashon HaKodesh. Doesn't matter. You could still get it. And you could get more than one. And you could get it for your mother-in-law. You could get it for your sister-in-law. And even though you got it for them last year, they don't remember where they put it. So they need another one. Okay. Parshas Noach. Ela toldos Noach. These are the progeny of Noach. Noach ish tzadik. Noach's a righteous man. We would expect the Torah to have something nice to say about Noach. After all, Hashem's destroying the whole world. He's only saving Noach. So we better have something good to say about him. The last pasuk was v'noach matzachin b'nei Hashem. Noach finds favor in the eyes of God. So he's a tzaddik. Tamim haya b'dayroisav. He was wholesome in his generations. Esho alaykim esalach Noach. Noach walked with God. On the surface, everything we have to say about him is positive. Comes Rashi, not so fast. Says Rashi, yesh meirabayseinu darshim oisai l'shvach. Some of our rabbis expound this for the praise of Noach. What does it mean? In other words, what's the pasuk saying? He was wholesome in his generations. What do you just say? He was tamim. Obviously, whenever you live, it's your generation. He wasn't wholesome in someone else's generation. He wasn't wholesome in Anthem's generation, right? He was wholesome in his generation. So why even say the word b'day raisav tamim haya? As holy kimis. So some rabbis expound it for the praise of Noach. He was wholesome in his generation, and his generation were a bunch of degenerates. Kol shekein she'ilu haya b'dar tzadikim. Certainly, if he was in a generation of the righteous, haya tzadik yoitzer, he would have been more righteous. In other words, we're trying to highlight the greatness of Noach. Compared to his generation, he was righteous. If he would have been in a different generation, he would have been more righteous. Some expound this to the disparagement of Noach. Yeah, he was righteous relative to his generation, because they were a bunch of degenerates. But if he would have been in a decent generation, if he would have been in the generation of Abraham, lo haya nechshav l'klum, he would have been nothing.
Is that unusual that we have two such diametrically opposed?
You often have disputes. Usually they're not so far. Now, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to burst a big bubble, because we haven't done that in a very long time. So the first thing is, the Dvar Torah that people say over on this Rashi, every Noach, just no sheiches. It's now, even though you'll find it in Sfarim, but you know, one of the questions that they ask on Rashi is, why those who expound it for the praise of Noach, they call him Rabbi Seinu? And those who expound it to the disparagement of Noach, they just say, V'yesha darshim l'gnai. Why are the people who expound it for Noach, I'm sure you heard that Dvar Torah before, right? That those who expound it for the good are Rabbi Seinu. Those who expound it for the bad, they're just those. So it's brought that because if you're going to try to find the positive in something, the good quality in something, then that allows that earns you the title rabbi. But if you're just trying to uncover, you know, the disparagement, you're just a nobody. The thing is, not only is it not a good Dvar Torah, it's downright wrong. Because if you look in the Medrash, the two opinions are Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So, you know, even though you'll hear this Dvar Torah, please ask the person, sit down. Just sit down now, okay? Because it's against Amoraim. Amoraim offer both opinions. It might be nice, and I don't know if you're going to hear it in Shul, I don't know what to tell you, okay? But this is not an authorized... So that's the beginning of today's share, just a public service announcement. Yeah, there, but not here. Here, so there are two legitimate viewpoints. So here's the million-dollar question that we're going to start with. I understand some rabbis, they see the words B'doy Roysav, that the Torah is trying to praise Noach, namely that he was righteous compared to generation. If he would have been in a better generation, he would have been even greater. Fine. And some see the disparagement of Noach. He's only good compared to... You know why he's such a Matsuyan? Because everybody else in the class, you know, he's excelling in the 8th grade because everyone else in the class happens to be in 1st grade. But if he would have been in, you know, actually with other 8th graders, he would not be that successful. Fine. These are two opinions. The million-dollar question is, how could anyone expound these words for the disparagement of Noach? Why in the world? Psh, wow. We should have a special welcome. But why would anyone expound it for the disparagement of Noach? Why would the Torah be disparaging Noach here? I mean, the purpose of this pasuk is to explain, here it is, Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to destroy the whole world, and there's one guy who remains standing. So why, I understand there's such an opinion that they're learning, the word B'doy Yosav is uncovering the disparagement of Noach. Why would the Torah be disparaging Noach here? This pasuk is trying to set up the situation of why God's destroying the whole world and saving this one man. Why would the Torah be disparaging Noach at this point? I understand. You think, you feel that had he been in the generation of Abraham, he would have been nothing? Okay, you're entitled to your opinion, but that can't be what the Torah is saying here. Why would the Torah be criticizing Noach? We don't know the man from Adam. All we know is God's destroying the whole world and he's saving one guy. So, why would the Torah be criticizing him? I mean, everything else is to, right. Everything else is to the praise of Noach. And the last thing in the world the Torah should be doing here is criticizing him. Why would the Torah criticize Noach in the opening pasuk? Now, who asked this question? Here's another bubble burster. Okay, you might hear this question appears in the drashas of the Maharimins. Who is the Ma'ariv Mintz? The Ma'ariv Mintz was Rabbi Yehuda Mintz. Rabbi Yehuda Mintz was the father of Rabbi Avraham Mintz, who is the father-in-law of Maram Padua, Rabbi Meir Katzenellenbogen, was the father of somebody by the name of Shik. Shik was Shmuel Yehuda Katzenellenbogen. You know that name? Shmuel Yehuda Katzenellenbogen. Shik. Shmuel. No relation to Maram Shik. Maram Shik came, let's say, 300 years later. Rabbi Shmuel Yehuda Katzenellenbogen lived from 1521 to 1597. He was the chief rabbi in Venice. He lived in the times of the Ramah and the Marshal, and also the Mechaber. The Mechaber sent to him the Shulchan Aruch, because in Venice, Shmuel Yehuda Katzenellenbogen had access to the printing press. So his name was Shik Shmuel Yehuda Katzenellenbogen. I believe I was in his kever in Padua. He wrote Drashas Ma'ariv Mintz. Who's Ma'ariv Mintz? It was his great grandfather. Why is it called Drashas Ma'ariv Mintz if it was written by Rav Shmuel Yehuda Katzenellenbogen? Because the printers made an egregious error. So you might hear the Shabbos, something up. The Ma'ariv Mintz says, nah. Just make sure you let them know the Ma'ariv Mintz did not write Drashas Ma'ariv Mintz. Who wrote Drashas Ma'ariv Mintz? Shmuel Yehuda Katzenellenbogen. The printers put the wrong name on the cover. Okay? It's not your fault. It's not the person who's going to say over the Dvar Torah's fault, other than they didn't do their due diligence to open up the book. And if you want to take a look at the cover page, Drashos Maharimins, 12 Drashos from Shmuel Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen. Shik, Shmuel Yehuda Katzen Ellenbogen. And this is his question. His question is, I understand their two opinions. Why would the Torah be disparaging Noach in the opening Pasuk? Yeah? Fine. Next question. We're saying that he was only righteous in his generation. But if he would have been in the generation of Abraham, he would have been a nobody. So why are we putting the man down? We don't even know him. You know, imagine, you introduce, Shalom Aleichem, you know, I would like you to meet Rabbi so-and-so. He's a good rabbi in this neighborhood. But if he would have been, if he would have been somewhere else, he would have been a nobody. That's beautiful. What a nice way to introduce the man. Tzadik b'doy roisav. Why are we putting him down? What did he do that we're putting him down? Now, Azriel, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, good. In Zichronos on Rosh Hashanah, we mentioned 10 psukim of Zichronos. The man who has center stage, more than anybody else, is Noach. And we spoke about this slightly Leil Rosh Hashanah. The man who has center stage is Noach. We say, Noach, be'ahava zacharta. You loved him. Now, one thing you need to know is Noach gets a lot of flack. You know, basically, every time we bring him up, we throw him under the bus. Oh, Noach, yeah, b'doy roisav. Noach, mipnei me'amabol, miktanei amonahaya. He was of small emuna. Noach, what's the first thing he does? He drinks wine. Noach, yeah, but mei Noach. The mabul is because of Noach. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mechini na, Noach is, he should have davened, and I rectify that. We basically never have a nice word to say about him. Every time we bring the man up, it's, yeah, we're criticizing him. And even when we compliment him, it's always like, there's always a back, you know, some people, when they compliment you, watch out. You know, what do you want? You know, what are you after? What did I do now? It's like every time we have something nice about Noach, yeah, but compared to Avram, he walked with God, but Rashi says, yeah, he walked with God, but Avram walked before God. And all of a sudden, Rosh Hashanah, Noach is like the paragon of a tzaddik. Do we say God remembered Moshe? No. Do we say God remembered Avraham? No. Do we say that God remembered Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yehoshua, Yeshaya, Yirmiya, Yechezkel? No. Noach, bi'ahava zacharta. Who's Noach? And not only that, of all the Zechroinos, we say, Batifkedehu, you remembered him, Bedvar Yishov Arachamim, in matters of salvation and mercy, Bahaviachas Mehamabo, when you brought the flood, Leshaches Kalbasar, Al Kain, therefore, we don't say, God, Habin Yakir Li Ephraim, Al Kain, but because you remembered Noach, Al Kain Zechroinoi Baal Lefanecha, therefore his memory came before you. Now, why in the context of remembering Noach are we saying that, God, you destroyed all of man, therefore you remembered him? I mean, this is Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to elicit mercy. Why are we saying that God destroyed the whole world then? And it sounds like you destroyed the whole world, therefore his memory came before you to increase his descendants like the dust of the world, v'tze'at sov, and his offspring, k'chel hayam, k'akosu b'sar asecha, Vayizkar Lekim Es Noach. So question number one. Never the entire year do we have even a good word to say about the man. All of a sudden the night of Rosh Hashanah, you know, Zechus Avos. Yeah, who? Abraham? No. Yitzchak? No. Noach. When Noach's all of a sudden your Zeda, the night of Rosh Hashanah. Noach, I don't know if you'd put him on a Shirach resume. You'd say, you know, the Yaakov, Yitzchak, Abraham. And who is Abraham's father? No, I can't remember. And before that, Lamala B'Kodesh? I'm not sure. Right? It's not on there. And you ask around, nobody knows. Nobody knows. You know? And by that time, you're so worn out, you just go on with the Shidduch, right? But here, the night of Rosh Hashanah, Noach, and God loves Noach. And V'atifkedeo B'dvar Yishuv V'rachamim. And why the night of Rosh Hashanah, why in Rosh Hashanah do we say that God increased his descendants like Kechoyel Hayam? So let's start with Olam Deshavart, that this was said over by Rav Meshulam David Halevi Soloveitchik, in the name of who? His father, the Griz, in the name of his father, Reb Chaim. Okay? So if anybody asks what you learned, you learned real Torah, brisker Torah. The Griz said over in the name of Reb Chaim, there's a din in Zechroinos, you don't say Zechroinos on a Yachid. There's no, we don't invoke God remembered an individual. So why do we say God remembered Noach? How could Noach be one of the Zechroinos? But how, we don't invoke a memory on an individual. The answer is, we're not saying God remembered Noach. He remembered Noach to increase his descendants. So Noach is not just an individual. Noach and his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. In other words, in order for Noach to meet the bill eligible for Zechroinos, it can't just be Noach. It has to be Noach and his descendants and his descendants' descendants. So in order to meet the criteria necessary for Zechroinos, we have to add in the words, Laharbois Zaroi Ka'afrois Tevel V'tzatzov K'chol Hayom. Yeah? Okay, fine. But still, why is it the night on Rosh Hashanah, when our lives are on the line, we don't invoke Avraham? Why don't we say, God, you know, Avraham Avinu, he was thrown into Or Kasdim, he passed 10 tests. Why don't we say, you know, Yaakov Avinu was learning in Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever. Moshe Rabbeinu, Ribbono Shel Olam, save us! Moshe gave us the Torah! No, Noach.
We're in a career. What are you talking about?
Why Noach? He doesn't make it to the davening. So we're going to present a new idea tonight, and then we're going to come to an idea that we've been speaking about a lot lately. There's another pasuk in Yeshaya. Peregah katoin azavtich v'rachamim gedolim akabitzeich. For a small moment, you forsook us. Ribbono Shel Olam says, for a small moment, I abandoned you. But with great mercy, I will gather you in. The galus is analogous to a brief moment of abandonment. The difficulties in life, a brief moment of abandonment. The chesed of Hashem, rachamim gedoylem. Beshetzef ketzef. And these words, we can almost, they resonate with what we're going through now. Beshetzef ketzef, in fierce anger. Histarti fanai rega mimech. I hid my face for a moment, for one day, when you least expected it. The Shomer Yisrael, so to speak, you know, he hid his face for a moment. Yeah, they knew there was movement on the border, and there's stuff going on already since 2019, and recently there's more activity, but they didn't pay attention to it. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, the Shomer Yisrael, he hid his face for a moment. But uvechesed oilam richamtich, with eternal kindness, you will have mercy on us. Amar goyalei Hashem, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you ask, how do we know? Maybe we won't be deservant. Now says Ribbono Shel Olam, ki mei noyach soisli. This is like the waters of Noyach. Asher nishbati, I swore, mei avar mei noyach oid al arz. I'm never going to flood the world again. Kein nishbati, so too I swear, miketzoyf alaychu migarbach, that I won't get angry, I won't scold you. Ki haharim yamushu, the mountains may move, v'hagvois timutena, the hills may falter, but v'chasdi meyitech lo yamush, my kindness from you will not be removed, uvris shaloimi lo yisamut, and my covenant of peace will not move, amar maracha mechashem. So God says, this galus is a fleeting moment. The Simchas Torah massacre was a brief moment of Hester Panim. The redemption, eternal love, eternal kindness, infinite kindness. And if you ask, who says? God says, I swear. So you say, God, what is your shvua like? God says, my shvua is like what I swore to Noach. Just like I swore to Noach that I'm not going to flood the world, I swear to you, I will redeem you and have mercy on you. The question is, why is God invoking Noach? That's the proof. The proof that God will redeem us is Noach. Really? Did you ever hear that before? Did you ever hear that this week's parsha is the source of the redemption of the Jewish people? The future redemption? In other words, if someone were to ask, how do we know God will redeem the Jewish people? The answer is Noach. Noach? What does Noach have to do with the redemption? Even though we learned many times, the Zohar HaKadosh says that when he sent the Yoina went and he found the crown of David HaMelech. Remember that last year? When the Yoina was sent out, the Yoina went and he found Ale Zayas, he found the crown of David HaMelech. But somehow, God saving Noach is the paradigm and the model to prove that the same way he swore he wouldn't flood the world again with a Mabul, he will have mercy on the Jewish people. What does one have to do with the other? So says Rav Shmuel Yehuda Katz and Ellenbogen in the Drashos Mahari Mintz. By the way, many people are familiar with this. It's quoted just as a Maramakim in the Paradis Yosef. He says something out of this world. What's going to be in the end of days? God's going to look down on the Jewish people and the angels are going to say, these guys, this is what you've been waiting for 2,000 years? For them? Come on. Ribbono Shel, you had better goods earlier and you didn't make it happen. So why are you making it happen now? Why would you redeem these people? And that's a good question. That's a very good question. Are we as great as the Nevi'im? No. Are we as great as the Tanoim? No. Are we as great as the Amoraim? Obviously not. An Amora could look at somebody who's dead and bring them back to life. He could say, hey, get up! And the guy would get up. You have stories in the Gemara. The Amora went to learn after he got married. He came back a decade later. His wife's there on the couch. Chana, get up already. Come on. I haven't seen you in 12 years. We just got married. Get up. She got up. The Gemara says that Antonina said to Rabbi, I know the smallest of you could be Mechayim Esim. They could stop the sun. They could look at a woman and she's fertile again. So we're not as great as them. How about are we as great as the Ga'inim? No. Rishonim? No. Achroinim? No. We're not even as great as our grandmothers. Rabbi Rucham would say, you can't even imagine the greatness of your grandmother. And God didn't bring redemption to your grandmother. So why would he bring it to you? Why would he redeem us? Says Rav Shmuel Yehuda Katz and Ellenbogen, in order to pull out of this mess, we got to invoke the following principle in Hashgacha. It's called relative judgment. Okay? Slightly different than we said in Rosh Hashanah, but we're going to come to that. Namely, maybe we're not that great. But compare us to the nations of the world. Compare us to monsters occupying the west coast of Arzenu HaKadosha. Barbarians. You know, the world is blind, right? Well, basically, what we saw this week was a 21st century blood libel. A plain, downright blood libel. Where you have terrorists blow up their own hospital, killing 500 people, and we're blamed for it. A Jew wouldn't kill anybody. A Jew that has an egg, and he cracks the egg, or she cracks the egg, and she finds a blood spot in the egg. What are you allowed to do with the egg? You could probably eat it. But chas v'shalom, you have to they throw out the egg because heaven forbid to have an ounce of a blood of a chicken. It can't even be a chicken. These eggs are unfertilized. But, you know, minog avesin b'yadeinu. So compared to the nations of the world, a Jew would not... is a million miles away from any of this kind of behavior. So relative to the nations of the world, we're the Ameich Kulam Tzadikim. So how do you activate that God should say, okay, objectively, you might not be that great, But subjectively, vis-a-vis the nations of the world, you're on a very great level. How do you act? When did God ever look at people that way? Noach! Noach, according to those, they're Dorishit Lagnai, but they're Dorishit Lagnai, but it's for our Shvach. It's a lifesaver for us. Those Chachamim, now don't call them Yesh. We already dismissed that Dvar Torah. Those Chachamim, who Darshanit Lagnai, but it's the biggest lifesaver for the Jewish people. Because in the end of days, 2023, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, remember Noach. And I would humbly suggest on Rosh Hashanah, when our backs are up against the world, against the wall, and the Satan is saying to God, come on, take him, take him. You know, he's there with the big, take the guy, he's done. Nothing more he needs to be here for. So we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, remember how much you loved Noach? The son said, Noach? Where'd you come up with that one? Yeah, and we say, Noach, when you destroyed the whole world, why'd you save Noach? You saved Noach because Noach, compared to his generation, was a good guy. So when you destroyed everyone, that's why his memory came before you, to increase his descendants. Shenemar v'yizkor lekimas Noach. In other words, when our back is up against the wall, the most powerful arsenal we have is Ribbono Shel Olam. We might not be so good, but you check out what happened in Gaza this week. You see what the nations of the world are like. Do you see any normal family life outside of Umasenu Hakadosha? Fathers, mothers, family units, brothers, sisters. Who has real family life other than the holy Jewish nation today? So you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we understand objectively, you know, don't look too close, but subjectively, V'gam es noyach bi'ahava zacharta. So the yesh me rabbeinu darshim l'gnai, it's a gnai for him, it's a shvach for us. It's a bailout for us. That's why I would humbly suggest, according to Rabbi Shmuel Yehuda Katzin Olenbogen, we invoke Noach on Rosh Hashanah when our back is up against the wall. Because we might not be that great objectively, but subjectively, we've got a lot going for us. But now I want to turn the tables. And I want to speak about an idea that this is the third time I'm speaking about it. We spoke about it in our Shir on Bi'ur Tefillah, when we learned about Ahava Rabbah. We spoke about it on Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to speak about it again now, because Ein Beis HaMedrash B'li Chiddush. And I want to share with you a nugget that occurred to me a little bit ago that's worth the price of admission. In the Sefer Shar HaGalgulim, Rav Chaim Vital records that the Arizal would always tell him, your soul, it's so lofty, it's so great, it's so great. He said, Rabbi, come on, what are you talking about? But the smallest of the earlier generations was a great tzaddik and a chassid that I can't even reach his ankles. Now, by the way, the reason I'm continuing on now is because everything we said is according to the Man D'Amar, Yesh Darshim L'Shvach. I'm sorry, L'Gnai. What about according to the Man D'Amar, that this is the praise of Noach? If Noach, according to generation, he was great, had he been in a better generation, he would have been even greater. So why are we invoking Noach on Rosh Hashanah? So Ribbono Shel Olam, remember Noach, he was pretty good. Had he been in a different generation, he would have been even greater. And I think that's also a very powerful limud chus for Klal Yisrael, for us on Rosh Hashanah, and at all times. So the Arizal said to Reb Chaim Vital the following principle. You should know a person's greatness is not dependent on their actions. It's dependent on the times they live in. Says Ari, a small mitzvah in this generation who shakel bekama mitzvahs gedoylois shevedoyrois acherim. A small mitzvah in this generation is like thousands of mitzvahs in earlier generations. Not just regular mitzvahs, colossal mitzvahs. So in other words, you could have, let's say, a Rishon, who this Rishon learned from Matzah Shabbos until Friday night consecutively. And you, Reb Chaim Vital, you could learn 10 minutes, and it's greater than the Rishon who learned for 6 days straight. So Reb Chaim Vital said, why? He says, Ari, don't you see what's going on in the world? Don't you see the forces of impurity are out of control? Don't you know what the Tuma and Sfas in the 16th century, right? The forces of impurity were rampant there. You could just imagine on all the billboards and Sfas and all the commercials, you know? It was probably you couldn't even walk anywhere. We're thinking like, what kind of Tuma was in Sfas in the 16th century? We're talking about, you know, the Beis Yosef, the Alshech, the Charedim, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. We're talking about Gedolei Olam. But the Ari said that compared to the Rishonim, a small mitzvah that you do is greater than colossal mitzvahs done in earlier generations, because in our generation, says Ari, the forces of impurity are out of control. Says Ari, if I was in an earlier generation, I would be greater than any of the tzaddikim. Or he's saying that to Reb Chaim Vital, that if you would be an early generation, you'd be greater than early tzaddikim. So Reb Chaim Vital says, where did you get this from? Says Ari, Rashi. Chaim Vital says, which Rashi? Noach tamim haya b'doyreisav. Vis-a-vis his degenerate generation, he was pretty good. But if he had been in the generation of Avram, he would have been tremendous. Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz. Now, if you say, okay, this is Ari, I don't know how to make heads or tails on this. You know, this is Kabbalistic, that Reb Chaim Vital, had he been in a different generation, he would have been considered much greater. But just right here, right now, we have a new understanding of why we invoke Noach on Rosh Hashanah. We say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know I have very little Masim Tovim. I know maybe I have many Averos. I know I'm on a very low level. I know I'm Kedalim Mecharashim Dafaknu D'Lasecha. But one thing is, don't you agree that if the forces of impurity were out of control in the times of the Arizal, what would you say today? Ribbono Shel Olam. Where today, the tuma that a person could access literally in 3 seconds is more than in the last 2,000 years combined. In other words, if you started from the year zero, you know, from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed until, let's say, 1900, you could do more bad stuff in 1 minute. You could see more bad stuff today than in the entire history of the world. So, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know I might not be on such a high level, but you got to take into account when I live. And if Reb Chaim Vital was considered greater than earlier generations because the forces of impurity were out of control, so Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I should loom pretty large in the heavens. Says Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, you could have a Talmud in Yeshiva today. He could be sitting and working on a Ritva, a Rashba, a Rambam. And he doesn't really understand what the Rishon says. And from the heavens, they consider that student greater than the Rishon whose words that he's learning. Why? Because the Rishon lived in relative purity, relative sanctity. The challenges that the Rishon had to deal with were minor compared to the colossal tuma and challenge that a Jew has to deal with today in 2023. And therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, we could say that according to the opinion that's Doirishit Lignai, you know why we bring up Noach, we say, God, I might not be so good, but relative to the Chalarias over there, I'm a tzaddik. And according to the opinion that's Doirish L'Shvach, I might not be that great, but didn't the Ari tell Reb Chaim Vital that had he been an early generation, he would have been greater than the great Tzaddikim? So I would like a piece of that. Give me some of that. And then the publisher of Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz said, now Rabbi Yeruchim says we don't like to talk about it. I don't either like to talk about it. I'm just saying it here between us and whoever's listening. It's not like we talk about it every hour, but this is, says Rabbi Yochum, why don't we like to talk about it? Because we don't want people to become too arrogant. But it could be that even though we can't imagine the greatness of our grandmothers, that doesn't mean in Shamayim we're not held in higher esteem than Rishayim. Yeah, they were greater than us. Yes, Achroinim are greater than us. Yes, Rosh Yeshiva are greater than us. Yes, our parents are greater than us. But it doesn't mean the heavens don't hold us in higher esteem. Let me give you a mashal. I can't believe it. Today was the yard site of... 10th yard site. Rabbi Avadia. 10th yard site. Maran Rabbi Avadia Yosef. He gives the following mashal. There was a princess. If you need anything, you go to this princess. She could put in a good word with the king. She could bail you out of anything. But you got to give her a good present. Don't walk in with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Don't walk in with a slice of pizza. You better give her fine cuisine. Something very expensive. Because she has access to anything. You can't come in with, you know, a bag of jelly beans. Only Ronald Reagan would go for a bag of jelly beans. In fact, I once mailed him, when I was a little boy, I mailed him a jelly bean. There's no evidence that he consumed the jelly bean, but I tried to send it to him. Right? Remember that? Okay. But that's a true story. So, but don't go into the princess with a jelly bean, because you gotta win her over. Fine. So over the years, many people brought her many valuables, and they curried favor with her. But one day, a rumor spread about the princess that she was acted with infidelity. She was put in a prison. She was put in a pit. And nobody was allowed to interact with her. And she was wallowing. She was languishing. She was starving. And one guy came in and brought her every day some bread, some water, some fresh clothing. And she got out of the jail. Who does she remember more fondly? Those who gave her delicacies and finery when she was in the palace, or those who gave her meager meat and potatoes when she was in the pit? When she's in the palace, what does she need already? But when she was in the exile, those are the gifts that she appreciated. Says Maran Rabbi Avadia Yosef, Zuchuto Yagen Aleinu. Says Rabbi Avadia, the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael did when the Beis HaMikdash stood, boy, did you have to do a mitzvah to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. But as the Golus prolongs, and as we get deeper and darker into the Golus, and Shechina begalusa, the Shechina is in exile, even the smallest mitzvah finds tremendous favor in the eyes of Hashem. A small mitzvah that you do is more valuable than a great mitzvah of earlier generations. In fact, says Rabbi Avadia, this is the meaning of the pasuk. Roishcha alecha kakarmel. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, the Roshim and the Aniyim are more beloved like Elio and Har HaKarmel. Dalas Roishcha ka'argaman. The Dalim and the Avyoinim are more beloved than Daniel. Says Rabbi Avadia Yosef, that when Jews are in the exile and we're far from the Beis HaMikdash and the Shechina is in the exile, even the smallest mitzvos, the poorest Jews, in a way could be more valuable than Nevi'im. And therefore, I want to repeat a chiddush, because we never recorded it. We know that in Rosh Hashanah we blow the shofar twice. We blow it once and we blow it again. The Gemara says to confuse the Satan. What does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, the first time he says, is it a shofar? Is it Mashiach? The second time he says, it's Vadei Mashiach! And he runs away! I have a question. Did you ever run? Have you ever been in shul? How old are you now? 35? 36? 42? I couldn't believe it. No, I thought you were definitely in the 30s. You've been going to shul your whole life for 30 years, yeah? Did you ever... You blow the shofar, so you know it's not Mashiach. But did you ever go to shul and hear the shofar, oh, it's Mashiach! You know it's not Mashiach. How do you know? Because he didn't come last year, he didn't come the year before, and he never came. So you say, I'm a betting man. It's probably not Mashiach. So what, the Satan is so foolish? he's so naive that he thinks it's Mashiach. I thought that every single year the guy falls for the same trick. As I could tell, you know, my kids have a game with the youngest one. Look over there, a distraction. Oh, where? You know? That's what we do to the Satan. Oh, look, a distraction. Look at the distraction. Every year he thinks it's Mashiach. How foolish could he be? The answer is, we're the foolish ones. The Satan knows that even though it didn't come last year, that's because the Koichas Atuma, maybe we're over here, but now they're out of control. He knows how beloved every mitzvah is to Hashem. The Satan knows any second. He knows that whatever Rashi did, and the Rambam did, and the Chassam Sofer did, and the Marsha did, and your grandmother is nothing compared to what you do. Nobody knows that better than the Satan. So even though it didn't come last year, that's because last year, maybe there was some semblance of morality in the world. But now, people don't know mi hu zeh ve'ezeh hu, v'hamei v'nyavin. So yes, the Satan knows better than any. Who better than the Satan knows how powerful the Satan is? The Satan knows that, you know, 1,000 years ago, he was a minor leaguer. Now he's, you know, now he's on steroids. Now he's major league on steroids. Who better than the Satan knows how close the Mashiach is? We don't know, because we don't appreciate how strong the Satan is today. He knows. It's good. It's a good, Yeah, you ever have shot in this Tosfos? Every year he falls for it. Who better than the Satan? He knows, look, I took the United States of America, which was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics. Where are they now? Not non-existent. Where people don't know, you know, there's no such thing as, without getting into too many details, they're just things. They're just, you know, entities now. Entities. So, Tosfos is telling us the Satan knows how close. Therefore, Chafetz Chaim writes, look at number 13. Al kein matzasi choyvel anafshi. I'm therefore obligated. Laharich lefnei hakol. This is what the Chafetz Chaim writes in his first parak of Tzipisa Yeshua. Sha'adiraba bizmanenu yoyser karoiv litzapos Yeshua. In our time, it's more likely to anticipate coming of Mashiach. You think he would have come 20 years ago? It's much more likely today. It's much more likely today. 20 years ago, if you wanted to... Now, the Satan provides everybody with something in their pocket that at any time, even while they're learning, they could do it. Now, ready for this? This is also... We said this, you can't say it enough. In the bracha before Kriya Shema, Nosach Ashkenaz says, Ahava Rabba, Ahav Tanu. If you stop 1,000 people on the street, they would translate it, with a great love, you have loved us. You look at any English siddur, it says, with a great love, you have loved us. It's wrong. Doesn't mean that. It's not what it means. The word Rabba doesn't mean great. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, Rabba means Rabba, it's increasing. It's increasing. Hashem loves us with an increasing love. In other words, who did God love more? The generation who received the Torah or Klal Yisrael today? I would never even dare try to answer this question, but if you would have asked me and you would have, you know, pressured me, I would have said, them. Says Rav Schwab, that's wrong. God's love for the Jewish people is increasing. It becomes more and more and more. So Rav Schwab provides one reason. We're going to provide another reason. Rav Schwab says, look at the Torah. You know, when I was a kid, when it came time to learning Gemara, so you learn it in the class, but then you had a test. So how are you supposed to, you know, who could remember from what you learned in class? So you needed to get an English Gemara. So you'd get tradition Gemara or Cincino Gemara, where they would translate the Gemara in archaic English. So in a way, you have a better chance of figuring out ancient Aramaic than these English words that have, the last time they were used, were hundreds of years before Shakespeare. That's how we learned Baba Kama, Baba Metzia. And then, all of a sudden, the Schottenstein edition came out with Makos, one Masechta. And then they came out with Hamafkid. And now today, every single perek in Shas in English. And if you don't know a Rashi, you take out a Masifta Gemara. Every Rashi in Shas is explained. And if you don't know a Tosfos, every Tosfos is explained. Oh, but I don't know Hebrew. Don't worry, Art School is coming out with Tosfos now in English. Why is there more Torah today? Now, if there's any blad in Shas you don't understand, you just type in and you could hear one of 100 Magidei Shir explain any line in Kol HaTorah Kula. Because God loves us more in 2023 than when I was a kid 30 years ago. That's what Rav Schwab says. God loves us more. Hashem loves us more. And I would say, based on that, you know why Hashem loves us more? Because we have more nisyonos, and we have more challenges. And if there was tumah when we were kids, today it's out of control on steroids a million times. So God loves us more today. And therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, when our back is up against the wall, and the Rebbe Hashem say, come on, compared to your grandmother even, you don't come up to your toenails. Say, well, Rebbe Hashem, tamim haya b'day roisav. Forget the fact that vis-a-vis the nations of the world, I'm a tzaddik. Don't you see the challenges that I have that earlier generations never had? Ribbono Shel Olam, if Reb Chaim Vital was greater than Tanoim and Amoraim, then what am I today? But you know, you can't focus on this too much. You also have to focus on the fact, but the reality is, you don't even come to the toenails of your grandmother. Your grandmother had a million times more. Your grandmother, when she davened to Hashem, spoke to him like it's a reality, and you're in a fog compared to that. So you always have to have b'shnei enayim. You have to know the right time. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara wants to demoralize a person, make a person depressed. That's the time to say, look, compared to the chalerias, I'm a good guy. Based on the challenges I have, I'm a big tzaddik. When you feel arrogant, you have to say, I don't even come to the toenails of my grandmother. So these are all true ideas. But at the time of Rosh Hashanah, when our life is on the line, we invoke the procedure of Noach. But now, this was all to tell you the following chiddush. So, which generation did God love more than any other generation? What's the answer? Ours. Sorry for banging. Ours. That we knew already. You ready for tonight's chiddush? Which generation loves Hashem more than any generation? Also ours. Or at least we have the potential to love Hashem more than any generation. You ready for this, Rabbi Akiva Eiger? Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, how could Hashem say, love me? You can't command someone to love them. Could I tell you, love spaghetti? Now! Rav Shmuel, love spaghetti! You like spaghetti? No. Broccoli, love Brussels sprouts! Either you like Brussels sprouts, or you don't like Brussels sprouts. You can't command someone to like Brussels sprouts. So how could God say, love me? Either we do or we don't. It's a matter of taste. You can't command someone to love them. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you know why Hashem could command us to love Him? Because when you know that someone loves you, you naturally love them back. And therefore, before we say the command to love Hashem, v'ahavta is Hashem lekecha, you know what we say? Habaycher b'amoy Yisrael b'ahava. God loves the Jewish people. Think about that. Say that. Focus on that. And then I don't need to command you. You just need to be aware that naturally you'll love the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of any generation in history, which generation is the beneficiary of the most intense and passionate Haboicher bi'amo Yisrael bi'ahava? That's us. We. And therefore, which generation can achieve the highest madrega of Avas Hashem in the history of the world. It's got to be us. It's got to be us. So think of the opportunity the Rebbeinu Shlomo is giving us. And whatever we saw, Simchas Torah, the Navi tells us, realize it's a rega katayin. It's a brief moment. Berega katayin azavtich. But the geula and the times of redemption and the chesed, relative to that, will be rachamim gedoilim. The terrible tragedies throughout our history, b'shesev kesev, rega mimech. The redemption, chesed oilam. And if you say, how will we ever be deserving of it? Who are we? What are we? We're nothing compared to earlier generations. We got two things going for us. Yesh, darshim, leganai. Compared to them, we're very great. Compared to our enemies, we're very great. But v'yesh, darsh, leshvach. Not only compared to our enemies, compared to earlier generations that didn't have to encounter what we do, in a certain sense, that propels us to the greatest possible heights. We are the beneficiaries, therefore, of the greatest love HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever had to Klal Yisrael, and in return, it is our opportunity. It's a historic opportunity to reflect that love, K'mayim Panim El Panim. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful night. Ribbono Shel Olam should watch over all of our Achinu B'nei Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, Ha'im D'mal HaMishmar, those who are fighting the war, all of our brothers and sisters whose lives are in peril. Ribbono Shel Olam should destroy all the Soinei Va'oivei Yisrael, and Be'ez Hashem we should be Zoicha very soon to the Gula Shleim of Yisrael Tzedek, Mehev Yaminu, Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.